Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Heredity Podcast with me, Dr. James Bergen. Aquaculture is the fastest growing food production sector worldwide. And one of the most important farm fish is the Nile tilapia. Unfortunately, with so many animals in one place, disease outbreaks become a real problem, and the recent emergence of the tilapia lake virus is threatening tilapia production in many parts of the world. But can new genomic tools come to the rescue? Let's find out, as we hear from the lead author behind the recent Heredity paper, a major quantitative trait locus affecting resistance to tilapia lake virus in farm Nile tilapia. Welcome to the Heredity Podcast. Can you please just introduce yourself?
Hi, James. Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here and to share our research and with you and all your audience. Well, my name is Agustin Barria, originally from Chile, and I work as a postdoctoral researcher at the Department of Genetics and Genomics at the Rosmin Institute in Edinburgh. And, well, my main research is aimed to improve host disease resistance to a viral disease affecting Nile tilapia. And this project is a collaboration between the Rosmin Institute and WorldFish, which is a non-profit research institute.
Well, that's a great summary of who you are and kind of what we're about to talk about. But you kind of mentioned their tilapia, and I think a lot of people, particularly in the West, might not really know what tilapia is. So could you just tell us a bit about this fish and why it's important?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, just to put into context, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations has estimated that aquaculture is the fastest growing food production sector worldwide, with an average increase close to 6% per year during the period 2001-2018, which is a lot compared with another food production sectors. And within this context is that the fish called Nile tilapia is the third most farmed fish with above 6 million metric tons produced during 2018.
Wow.
And is quite important because besides being produced at larger scales, it's also produced at smaller scales. Therefore, there are several communities from low and middle income countries, for example, from Africa, Asia and America, that relies on Nile tilapia production, both economically and nutritionally. And well, the problem with TILV or tilapia lake virus is that has threatened the sustainability of Nile tilapia production and causing mass mortalities with up to 80 or 90% of the total production cycle. And due is a relatively new viral disease. It was identified in 2013, but there are some reports that associated mortalities to tilapia lake virus in 2009. To date, there are a few treatments for its control and prevention. So it's a pretty huge problem in Nile tilapia aquaculture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's clear that it's a very, very important fish for a lot of communities that don't maybe have a lot of food, and the virus sounds as though it can have a huge impact.
Yeah, definitely.
So what was it that you specifically set out to do in this study?
Well, after collecting survival data from almost 1,000 fish of the GIF strain of Nile tilapia from a natural field outbreak to tilapia-like virus, or TILV, we genotyped this fish with a SNP array that was developed by our same research team, and we performed a genome-wide association study. And thus, we identified a major QTL located on the chromosome 22 of Nile tilapia, which is associated with cross-resistance to TILV. And based on these results, we proposed that a marker-assisted selection approach could be a feasible alternative to enhance disease resistance and therefore reduce the mortalities ascribed to TILV. And we also propose some candidate genes associated with the survival trait, providing new knowledge on the potential genes underpinning the host disease resistance to TILV.
Fantastic. So I guess it might be cool if we could kind of dig into some of those bits a little bit more. And you were mentioning there collecting your samples. Your study, it has some really cool methods, and it sounds as though they're maybe a little bit different to how you might usually test for disease resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you go about collecting your data?
Yeah, well, that's a really good point, James. Because, well, usually within the context of genetic improvement, the studies aim to evaluate host disease resistance in aquaculture, collect phenotypic measurements after an experimental challenge, where you can fix several environmental effects such as temperature, oxygen, salinity, etc. On these controlled challenges, the animals could be infected by different ways. For example, intraperitoneal injections. The advantage of this method is that all the animals will be infected with the same amount of a specific pathogen. And, for example, there's another approaches, as immersion or cohabitations, which mimics the natural field conditions of the animals in the aquaculture. However, the problem with TLV is that there isn't any standardized experimental challenge for this virus, which makes it difficult to obtain accurate phenotypes. And, well, as you said, our study has the particularity that the phenotypes were obtained after a natural feed outbreak. And for this natural feed outbreak, we collected the survival data, which means that we phenotyped the fish, in this case, based on if they survive or not this natural feed outbreak. And therefore, these phenotypes combined with genomic information allowed us to identify QTLs linked to host resistance, but in a real scenario, being more informative than experimental challenge, since the trait is a better representation of the target trait in the breeding programs, whereas the results from experimental challenge must be validated in field conditions. I believe that it's also worth to notice that this fish belongs to a breeding program managed by WorldFish in Penang, Malaysia, and have been selected for improved growth rate. For example, the fish that on this current study belongs to a generation 16th, and we have pedigree data up to the base generation, which is a very deep pedigree. So, and therefore, we can't know which fish belong to any specific family.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds really interesting and a really good use of natural outbreak as well.
Today there's, as I said before, there are only some few students that come into my mind now that use natural feed outbreak, but as I said, has some advantage compared with experimental challenges.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you've already mentioned a couple of times that you found some really interesting QTLs and some candidate genes, but I wonder what your sort of key findings were. So what were you actually finding to do with disease resistance in these fish?
I believe that there are four key elements to mention based on the results of our research. The first one is that we confirmed the existence of significant genetic variation for resistance to tilapia-like virus in this current population. Secondly, we also confirmed the absence of genetic correlation between resistance to TLV and Herpes wave. This means that by selecting fish with higher resistance to the virus, it won't have any negative effect on harvest weight, which is a key trait for night tilapia farmers and is the most important trait as in breeding objectives. Well, the third point that is worth to mention is that TLV is relatively a new disease. There is not too much information about the functional pathways involved during the infection process. And we identified some candidate genes flanking the significant markers, and some of them has been proposed as an antiviral role in other species as well, including aquaculture species. Well, and finally, I would say the most important result of the paper is that we found a major QTL in the chromosome 22 of night tilapia, which is rare to find for a quantitative trait. Well, for example, the opposite homozygous for the three most important markers, that's it, the homozygous for the resistant allele and the homozygous for the susceptible allele, have a difference in the mortality rate around 30%, which is high considering that the overall mortality rate during the natural outbreak was close to 30%.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, particularly given that you said there aren't a huge amount of resources for this fish, they're really interesting results. And I think one of the bits that I find really interesting is the list of candidate genes that you found, because you've found quite a lot that could be interesting. And I wonder if any particularly stand out.
Yeah. Usually in these kind of studies where we do genomic-wide association studies, there are plenty of candidate genes that you believe or you can use it as potentially involved on the traits. On this case, we found some candidate genes involved in the night tilapia immune response. But if I have to choose one, I would say that one is called Galactin 17 or LGALS17. And it's interesting, well, because the most significant SNP that we found for associated with host resistance is located within an intron on this gene. galactins are a family of proteins which, among other functions, are involved in viral infections by activating innate and adaptive immune response. And it's quite interesting because these genes has been found to have antiviral activity after RNA single-strand viruses infection, which is the same type of genetic material as tilapia-like virus. And this has been found in other aquaculture species, for example, Atlantic salmon or sea bass. Mm. Also, it's exciting that one of the TLB segments has an homology, a weak homology though, but homology at the end, with a subunit of the polymerase protein of the influenza C virus. And well, why is this exciting? Well, because it has been shown in mice that one member of the galactin family has the ability to reduce the influenza viral load on these mice, also that knockout mice have higher susceptibility compared with the wild-type mice. However, this gene and the rest of the candidate genes must, of course, be validated in order to elucidate underlying causative genes, which could now be possible through a CRISPR-Cas9 genome editing approach, for example.
That'd be cool.
I believe there are people working on that.
Nice. So I guess the big question with studies like these is that you found lots of really cool genomic insights, but how do you think this study might actually help tackle virus outbreaks?
Yeah, well, the use of genetic markers have been effectively exploited in aquaculture. For example, there is a remarkable example where the use of a major QTL has been used to reduce IPN-related mortalities in Norwegian Atlantic salmon populations to almost zero.
Wow.
Yeah, well, IPN is also a disease caused by a virus. Although the size of the effect of the QTL that we found on this study is not as big as the one for IPN, it's definitely a promising avenue to reduce TLB mortalities in night tilapia populations through the implementations of selection based on markers located on the QTL regions and hence develop a strain with enhanced resistance to TLB.
So, I mean, it's kind of clear that it could have a really big impact on aquaculture of Nile tilapia. But I guess at Heredity, we're also kind of curious about the sort of really broad messages and papers. So I wonder what you think the sort of key message within your paper actually is.
Yeah, I would say that the fact that a major QTL was found for an aquaculture species for which the genomic tools are available just years ago suggests that there are still plenty of room for genetic improvement through genomic information in other farming aquaculture species with less genomic resources. Well, unfortunately, there are several research groups worldwide working on developing these resources for their local farming species. And therefore, the use of genomic tools, I believe, that will help to improve complex traits in several aquaculture species.
Mm, perfect. I mean, yeah, hopefully. But it is a really good paper and it has some really interesting methods. And thank you for taking the time to share it with us.
Oh, no, thanks to you again. Yeah, it's quite interesting to have this experience to talk with you and share our research on a different way that besides read a paper, it's also really interesting to have a talk with about it.
Yeah, for sure. But hopefully now people will actually go and read your paper. But I wonder if you could just finish off by reminding people listening what your paper is called. And also, you did mention them at the start, but also the other people involved in bringing us this work.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, the title of the paper is A Major Quantitative Trait Locus Affecting Resistance to Tilapia-like Virus in Farm Night Tilapia. And, this work was, as I said at the beginning, a collaboration between WorldFish and the Roslin Institute. So the co-authors from the WorldFish, and I want to thanks to them, of course, is Strong Trink, Mahira Mahmoudin, Mohan Chadak, and John Bensi, and the people from the Roslin Institute, Carolina Peñalosa, Athena Papadopoulou, Ophelia Gervais, and Ross Houston. So thanks to all of them.
Thanks to Augustine. You can find his paper on the Heredity website. That's nature.com/HDY. While you're there, you can also check out how to submit your own papers to the journal. Heredity is the official journal of the Genetic Society. You can subscribe to the Heredity Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow us on Twitter. That's at Heredity Journal. If you want to get in touch with me directly, drop me an email at hereditypodcast.gen@gmail.com. I'm James Bergen. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.